Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight's a pleasure to welcome to our studio Patrick Grimes. Welcome back, Patrick.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Patrick Grimes is the chief mucky muck, the head honcho.
The grand poobah.
The grand poobah of the Newport Murder Mystery Series and the Marley Bridges Theater Company specifically. And Patrick's been here on several occasions, I guess. Maybe this is your third, fourth time, something like that.
But today I come alone.
Alone, without an entourage. Yeah. One time we did have a studio full.
Yeah,
here.
We had, I think, four one time.
Four. I think you own the record for the most people ever in the luxurious studios in downtown Exeter.
It feels to me like you need at least seven or eight to make this place feel cozy.
Well, Patrick is here because we have a lot of things to talk about. The Molly Bridges Theater Company has been very, very busy for how many years now since this started? About four or five?
I guess Beechwood Mansion closed in 2010, and that's when we divorced ourselves of that. So this is our fourth year.
Fourth year, right.
Yeah. Being nomadic, as it were.
And we talk about the Beechwood Mansion series, like everybody knows about it. For those that might not have known about it, let's recap a little bit and say what happened at the Beechwood Mansion in Newport back in the day.
Well, starting in 1981, the Astor's Beechwood Mansion opened as a living history museum. And that did recreations of the Victorian rich and their servants. And I started there in 96. And then by 2004, I was the artistic director. And for the last 6 years that it was open, we really expanded our offerings and started doing, musical series. And we started a nonprofit foundation that gave money to schools and did big band dance nights and all sorts of stuff like that. And really started opening up our musical options.
And then that, as that changed hands, shall we say, in 2010.
Yeah. The new owner didn't want anything to do with the theater company, so we took our toys and we went home.
And started what has become a very successful operation.
Yeah.
And we were talking off air, as you came in today, about all the things that have been going on and how busy you've been, and that's a good thing.
It is a great thing.
For any company or nonprofit organization such as yourself. And things have grown dramatically.
Yeah. Thankfully, we found a delightful partnership with the Newport Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done music with them and outdoor Shakespeare with them and a P.D. Kubok opera series with them, which was a lot of fun. And
the old standby.
And the old standby that generates the cash that allows us to actually do all these fun musical events. Is our Murder Mysteries.
Murder Mysteries, yeah. Which take place on Saturday nights.
Saturday nights, yep.
And only, people museum. Only die on Saturday nights, I've
well,
noticed.
That's, well, you know, it's sort of like the Murder, She Wrote situation, No one ever comes to really investigate.
Right.
No one ever seems to care that we kill someone every Saturday.
Every Saturday night. And it's
like
been going
clockwork.
On for years. Yeah. Now, it's not always the same show, right? Some
Correct,
Murder Mystery
yeah.
theaters, it's always you can go, and once you've been there, you're done.
Yeah,
but
no,
that's
we,
not the case with you.
We do four or five scripts a year. This year, we're actually going to do six. We did one all spring. We've had two that alternate every other Saturday all summer. Then we've got our fall series coming up, opening September 13th. And then starting in November, we'll be doing our Christmas murder because Silent Night, Deadly Night was just too good a title to pass up.
There you go. All right. You've got to have a good murder at Christmas time.
Well, isn't that the spirit of Christmas? Give the gift of murder.
I think we'll have some calls on that, but we'll worry about that later. Let's talk about the concert series. And you actually have one. The timing is perfect tonight because you have one coming up Wednesday night in Providence.
That is correct. At the Music Mansion, we're closing our summer concert series, which has been going on Wednesday nights at multiple venues all around. And our final one will be at the Music Mansion, which we're very excited about. They gave us a special dispensation and opened up in the season when they are not normally doing anything.
That's correct.
To allow our ridiculousness to come in and shine.
And so that what brought you to or decided made you decide to go to Providence versus Newport for something like this?
Well, we've been doing stuff off island quite frequently of late. We've done stuff up at the, you know, we've done a library series where we did radio theater in the libraries, and we're trying to branch out from Newport County is what our original charter for the foundation is. But we're like, you know, we don't have to stick within those confines. I mean, we're focused there. We do a lot there already, so why not start moving around a little bit more? Rhode Island's a pretty small state already.
I know, but it'll be fun to have you in Providence at the Music Mansion, and we look forward to that on Wednesday night. And does this first piece of music have anything to do with what will be happening there?
It does, as a matter of fact. The crux, we try to find a theme for our concert series stuff. And so this first theme was songs of romance. And romance isn't always chipper. Sometimes it's unrequited.
I have a bad feeling about this.
But this is a really fun and interesting story. Sullivan Ballou was a lawyer from Rhode Island, actually from Smithfield. And during the American Civil War, he was a major. He joined up with the Union troops, and he was killed in the First Battle of Bull Run. And a week before he died, he wrote a letter to his wife, Sarah, back in Rhode Island, expressing how much he missed her and that he was worried that he would not make it, that there was concern that they would be moving on to the battlefield. And there, you know, there's always uncertainty when that sort of thing happens. And so this letter has actually been circulated a lot. There's some discretions that people take with it by setting it to music and the like, and that's one of the performances we do is a sung version of this letter from Sullivan Ballou to his wife, which begins, "My very dear Sarah," and this version of it that we do has a bit of an initial sort of reading of the letter that then goes into a full sung version and then finishes with him repeating. And
well, why don't we give it a listen?
It's lovely. I think you'll like it.
All right.
"My very dear Sarah, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall upon your eye when I am alone. I have no misgivings about, or lack of confidence in the cause for which I am engaged. And my courage has not caught a falter. I know how strong the American civilization now leans on the triumph of the government, and how great the debt
Well, Patrick, that gives us a little flavor of what we might expect musically. Now, there's a visual aspect to what you do. Obviously, it's theater, so it's not just the singing.
Yeah, but these concert series, way we've staged this one is the first half is solos and duet works that are just sung. And then the second half is Menotti's The Telephone. So in the first half, we have a lot of these, that sort of stuff. So like the Sullivan Blue Letter, wonderfully set to music. We have other ones that are also in the style of that. Like one called As to What You Said, which is a beautiful response to someone begging for someone not to leave them.
Okay.
And it is yet another letter set to music, but was originally written to be performed as a song, as opposed to the letter to Sullivan Ballou, which
was set afterwards.
Yeah, it was written as a letter by a lawyer to his wife and never even mailed, in fact. That one was found in his trunk of his belongings after he died. Was delivered to her family months later. This one is more of a straight up response to to someone saying, please, please don't leave me. And it's again sort of the more melancholy, bittersweet side of love, where not always does love work out, not for the reasons we expect. Maybe it's not that you've been killed by a cannonball, but in the instance that the love may not actually be there. It's, you know, not always equal.
All right.
And so this one is another beautiful, sort of haunting tune that is, I would say, complex in its layers, not only for its lyrics, but its tonality.
All right, we will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Patrick Grimes and the Marley Bridges Theater Company.
You can never belong to me, nor I. I to you. Behold the customary loves and friendships, the cold guards. I am that rough and simple person. I am he who kisses his comrade lightly on the lips at parting, and I am one who is kissed in return. I introduce that you American salute. Behold, love choked. Correct, polite, always suspicious. Behold the received models of the parlors. What are they to me? These young men that travel with me.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Patrick Grimes from the Marley Bridges Theater Company. And Patrick has been talking about the Newport Murder Mystery Series, for one thing, concert series. And there'll be a concert coming up on Wednesday night at the Music Mansion on the east side of Providence. And Patrick, when people, if they would like to attend this, can they get information by going to your website?
They absolutely can. They can go to newportmurdermystery.com. And all they have to do is on the left-hand side, click on, you know, special other events. It includes the Dickens Christmas Feast, which is our big musical version of, you know, Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol. Things like that will be all be listed there on that side, including tickets and whatnot for the Music Mansion performance. Now, all of our performances for our concert series are sponsored by the Marley Bridges nonprofit, so they're all suggested donation.
Okay.
So that's the nice thing. We don't sell tickets for them in advance for the concerts. It's just show up, and the suggested donation is $10, and some people pay and some people don't. You know, it's really.
And if you want to give $100, you'll take it, right?
We absolutely never say no to more, Mike. But the idea behind our concert series is to provide quality music at prices that anyone can afford. So mm-hmm. We know that times are tough in Rhode Island, largest, you know, unemployment rate in the nation. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to get to and enjoy classical music.
And this is sure, if the suggested donation were $10 or $20, that's still a huge bargain for a night out of entertainment. I mean, a lot of people go to the Performing Arts Center and pay 80, right. 90, 100 bucks for a ticket. So
absolutely.
This is a very worthwhile cause and great entertainment. Now, at the Music Mansion, I know that there are grand pianos, and I presume that would be an assistance to you in providing the music.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's the music, is everything is sung with piano accompaniment?
Correct, yeah. These concert series, we need to keep it small, because we do travel with them, mm-hmm. So we're not trying to put together full orchestration or even a chamber orchestra for it. We do all of them with just piano accompaniment.
Excellent. And then how many singers are involved in this?
In this particular series, there are two. It's Lewis Seymour. He has his Master's of Music in opera vocal performance. Mm-hmm. And Christy Rood, who also has a Master's in opera vocal performance. So they do duets, and then they perform the two characters from The Telephone by Menotti. quite wonderfully. The comic opera one act ends our rather melancholy.
So the first part is going to be the Civil War type.
Yes, it's not as uplifting
right.
as the second half, which
but you'll go out on a high note.
Absolutely, right. That's the point. Yeah, well, you leave with everyone going, oh well, whew, there is a good end to love sometimes.
There is something to look forward to. All right, let's get to the next piece of music, which is part of the first act, right?
Correct. Yeah, the next piece is a Stephen Foster version. Everyone knows that Gounod wrote an opera, Romeo and Juliet. And it's very well known. But Stephen Foster wrote his own version of Romeo and Juliet opera.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and this one is called Wilt Thou Be Gone, Love. And it is the song sung shortly after Romeo and Juliet have had their first tryst, shall we say.
Okay.
And they're lying there wondering if it's the lark or the nightingale singing. Because if it's the nightingale, he can stay.
If it's the lark,
but it's the lark, he needs to go or have his head cut off by dad. So
let's give this a listen. beautiful music, a little melancholy, but that's all right. The whole evening, as we've stressed, will not end up that way.
No, absolutely not. Just the first part is melancholy. The second part is hysterical.
And you mentioned the two soloists in the first half, and you didn't mention yourself, so... First half, you're kind of getting prepared for your big appearance, right?
Yeah, actually, I am in the second half, strangely enough, but I'm not singing. I play the part in the second half of the telephone.
Of the telephone
itself.
There
are three characters in the telephone, two humans and a telephone. The telephone actually does have lines. They're very simple. Because it is a telephone, after all, so it does is ring.
Right.
But it rings at very important times, and I'm the one who has to ring the phone.
I see that. And now, will you be dressed as a black onyx, old-fashioned, or will you
actually,
have a crank?
Actually, we've set
or?
Our version of the telephone in the 19-teens.
In the teens, so
it's a candlestick phone, and it's brass, and it's got the rotary dial on it, and it's...
Wow.
Yeah, the idea of the telephone is that it is a young man is going away, and he has something very important to ask his girlfriend before he leaves, and that is that, you know, will you marry me? But their conversation keeps getting interrupted by the telephone ringing.
Well, we don't want to give too much away at this point, right?
Well, and it's obvious at the very beginning why he's there, but she is not very clued in because she is completely distracted by answering the phone and making phone calls to other people about the phone calls she's just received.
This sounds like something I'm going to have to see. I'm going to have to be there. How do you get to the Music Mansion in Providence? I'll have to find my way there.
Oh, it's not hard to find. Okay. It's not hard to find. You
but before we get too much on this on the second half, we still have music from the first half to listen to. So let's listen to one more piece from this from the more sorrowful first half, and then we'll take a short break.
This one is a very melancholy piece.
Two Swans?
Yes, the Two Swans. There were two swans.
And not a swimming.
No. Well, they were. And then, I don't want to give away the end, but let's just say that it is yet another song that I think a lot of us will be able to relate to.
Okay. We'll listen to the Two Swans and then take a short break and be back with more. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Patrick Grimes from the Marley Bridges Theater Company in Newport. And we're talking about the concert series that's been going on this summer and another concert coming up Wednesday night at the Music Mansion in Providence. And we've been talking about a rather melancholy or sad event, I guess is what you could say. First half of the concert is going to be songs about the Civil War.
Well, they're all about love, but, you know, the one is the love letter from Major Sullivan Ballou to his wife saying, I love you and I'm going to be dead soon.
Right.
So
that's a little melancholy.
Yeah.
But the second half we want to make sure we stress is going to be a completely different
flavor. Absolutely. If you're not familiar with Menotti's Telephone, it is a very funny one act. And speaking of, that's what our upcoming fall concert is going to be, another Menotti one act opera, but we're doing it as if it was a radio play. It's called The Old Woman, the Maid, and the Thief.
And that's normally held at the Newport Museum.
We're going to do a performance there. We're going to have a performance probably at St. John's, the Evangelist Church on the Point in Newport. Mm-hmm. We often do performances at, you know, Rough Point or at Emmanuel Church. We'll probably try and schedule another performance for the Music Mansion, and we're going to put it out there for places like Blythe Wald and a few of the others. Okay. So as those shape up and dates are announced, that'll all start being announced probably mid-September, where those will be occurring. But the fun part about that production is the actual opera was written by Menotti as a radio play with narration.
So we can do sound effects.
Of action, and we're going to have sound effects,
so
yeah.
So if there were a dog barking in the background.
Right. It depends on the size of the dog. I mean, it could be. Oh, I was thinking a smaller dog. There we go.
Okay.
And then there's doors opening, and the opera itself is kind of spooky, and that's why it falls well into that.
There could be a drum
October
roll.
October time. Oh, he's got a sound effects machine, ladies and gentlemen. He did not make that sound effect with his face. He made that sound effect near
but
his face.
But all kinds of things can happen. You never know what's going to be happening.
Right. We'll perform it live. And we did this before with an old radio play. We have all the sound effects equipment set up. We've made a small door with creaky hinges that slams well. And, and so we're very excited to perform this so that you get to see how a radio play, or in this instance, a radio opera, would have gone. So there'll be the narration of all the action.
And this will be with the narration, the announcer, the whole
thing. Yeah, saying, you know, an old woman enters the room. She carries with her a newspaper and two magazines.
Shouldn't it be more like, an old woman enters the room?
Or like this, an old woman enters the room, because it's from the 1940s.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right.
She carries with her. When suddenly...
That's right. And then it's time for a commercial. And then, even the commercials are done there. All right. We're going to keep with the music, though, of that first half of the program for Wednesday night. And then I want to find out more about what's coming up for Marley Bridges for the rest of this calendar year with some very exciting things. But let's get to this next piece of music, which is called something Old Blue or...
Oh, the Blue Skies.
Oh, the Blue Skies.
Yes.
All right. Sounds a little...
Well, it is not as melancholy as some of the others, but okay. It is, you know, ranting at the universe.
about blue skies.
I think we've all looked up at the sky once in a while and said, why?
Why me? Here we go.
Summer has gone, the leaves are falling, I hear your heart. my lonely heart that too has bled. Tell what is left in life since love has fled, since love has fled.
Okay, we have only one more melancholy song to go.
Yes, and that is true.
And then the promise of good things coming for That's, the second well, half of that concert.
If you're not depressed enough, come see the first half live
right
at the Music Mansion. And then we have the remedy for your blue, blue skies.
Right, which will be the telephone.
Yes.
I can't wait for that part, quite frankly. I mean, you know, it's really something I'm looking forward to see you portray a telephone. That's going to be really nice. Now, is that probably one of the most unusual things you've done?
It is right up there, I have to say that I was hired at one point to be a pen.
A pen?
Yes.
A
pen.
Okay.
I was hired to be a pen at a corporate event. There was a huge corporate event, and they were looking for three actors to be pens. They had these giant pen costumes, and the pens had characters.
I see.
And I was a pen for two days. I said no initially, and they were like, oh, really? And I said, yeah, it's not the sort of thing that I normally do. I'm an improv actor.
But then they paid you.
You would not believe how much they paid me, Mike, because they said, well, what would it cost to get you to do something like this? And I threw out the crazy money number.
Right. And they jumped at it.
And they went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You thought to yourself, man, I should have doubled that.
I've done a few of those. I've never been a pen, but I can remember my quartet wanting to be hired one time, and we don't very often do small private parties. We normally do concert work. And this man was very insistent on us wanting to appear on a yacht in Newport. And he had heard us at a show in Boston, and I tried to convince him that we don't normally appear in a small thing. He said, well, there'll be about a dozen people. And I said, well, I'm sure this is way out of your price range. And I shot him that, we don't want to do
the crazy money number, yeah.
And sure enough, he hired us.
Yep.
And we had a great time, as it turned out, made a ton of money. So,
well, I'm sure you must not be familiar with the harbor at Newport. He said he had a yacht in Newport Harbor, he probably didn't preface it with, I have a mega yacht in Newport Harbor.
It was a mega yacht. There was six couples he had invited to be on the yacht.
That's usually all the space there is on a mega yacht is room for 12.
Yeah, and we actually had a great time and found out afterwards that it was I don't need to name the corporation, but it was one of the big ones.
Yeah.
And he hired us to come back the following week and do the same thing again. That's how much fun it was. So
yeah.
You never know.
Well, see, that happened with us last year with a group that was renting the Chandler Hotel for two whole weeks in a row.
Wow.
And they wanted our speakeasy show, which is a 1920s musical review thing. And I said, well, it costs a lot of money to put that together. I mean, we can't just be throwing that together for two performances.
Right.
And he said, well, it'll be over, two separate performances on 2 weeks because I've got two different groups coming in. I said, well, what venue are you looking at? And he said, well, we've rented the Chandler Hotel in Newport for 2 weeks in a row.
Walk,
yeah.
For those that don't know.
And so when he said that, then I decided, well, if he's willing to shell the cash, here's what it's going to cost. And I threw out the crazy money number, and he went, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable.
That's
and so for, 4 hours work,
You got the crazy money number.
Yeah, well, right. The issue was it was weeks of rehearsals to bring it back up to speed because we hadn't done it in 2 years because no one was willing to pay to have it done. So we had all the music. We had the whole thing set. We had a band that we'd been working with for years when we were at Beechwood.
And it all
but
worked.
But we hadn't put it back together in so long. I didn't see how it was going to happen, but I told him he was going to have to pay us for rehearsals, too, and he said, okay.
Okay. See how it works?
It just now, sometimes works out that way.
Some things that you have to work a little bit harder at, like this coming fall, I promised people we'd tell them about what's coming up for Molly Bridges and your Christmas concerts or events, I should say.
Yeah, well, we do a whole series of fun Christmas events, actually, that are outside the norm. Mm-hmm. Starting in November, we do start our Christmas themed murder mystery, which this year is going to be called Silent Night, Deadly Night. And in our murder mysteries, we do incorporate a musical element to every one of them. For instance, our fall one that goes September and October has, you know, selections from Carmen and stuff incorporated into it. And then for the Christmas one, we have Christmas songs.
And people will be able to purchase tickets for this very soon, right?
All of our murder mysteries are available for sale now. But our big Christmas event is the Victorian Christmas Feast, which is a retelling of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, set in the 1890s and centered around characters from Newport's storied and quite famed wealthy classes.
There you go.
So we set it around the families like the Astors and the Vanderbilts and the Griswolds. And the idea is that they are all familiar with Dickens' tale, having been around for almost 30 years at that point, but they have a Scrooge in their own midst. And so they use the lessons of the three ghosts during the course of their meal and party with friends to convince their own very own Scrooge to change his ways and see the true spirit of Christmas.
And if you want to get information on this and any other events, you can go to Newport Murder Mystery.com.
Yeah.
And everything will be there. Well, Patrick, I want to thank you for coming in. We've had a great time today, although the music has been a little melancholy.
But hopefully our banter is a bit more uplifting.
There you go. We got one more piece to listen to on the way out, and we'll listen to probably just a portion of this one, but it's called Despite and Still. And
Opus 41, number 4. Okay. It's more commonly known as Solitary Hotel, and it's more of a haunting than completely depressing piece.
Great. Well, thanks again, Patrick. It's been great to see you again.
Good seeing you, too.
All right. The rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Solitary hotel in Mountain Pass. Autumn. Oh, bobbing upright and back hands. Queen's Hotel. Queen's Hotel. Queen's Hotel.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.